This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free to call in.
Please do.
The telephone number is 603-283-6160.
Oh.
Son of a...
603-283.
This is going to be my first bleep ever.
6160. We have some callers holding.
You've been warned.
We'll get to them in just a minute. I'm fully prepared to dump you whenever necessary. Just in case you were wondering.
You will dump yourself eventually again first before that happens. I stake money on it.
How much?
$50.
Maybe we get a pool going here.
Yeah, whatever.
Get the callers. We'll set up a separate wallet. People can like throw money into the crypto wallet and split it between whoever wins.
What's the conversion for Dash?
I don't know okay. Right now. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't looked at that today.
Like with one Dash, is that too much or too little?
I don't know, but this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash.
Nailed it.
Digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Unfortunately, due to government meddling, the company that partnered with Dash to offer you Dash Direct is leaving the crypto business. However, they weren't the only provider of discounted gift cards for Dash. Bitrefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. You could actually live off your Dash using bitrefill.com, plus many of their gift cards come with a discount. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get, easy to use. Start by learning more at dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's dash.org. All right, moving right along, let's go to, we've got Tom in New Hampshire calling. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion in people's minds because they've been brought up to think that a government somehow is a being that can do certain things. And in Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution, the framers saw nothing wrong with describing a state as something that can think. Okay, the state shall think proper to admit. It's impossible for a state to think. The fusion of a land mass and an organization as being the same being that can somehow think or act or such is found in Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution. The exact sentence says, and I quote, "A person charged in any state with treason, felony, or other crime who shall flee from justice and be found in another state shall, on demand of the executive authority of the state from which he fled, be delivered up to be removed to the state having jurisdiction of the crime." Now, focusing on the 10 words there, the executive authority of the state from which he fled.
Mm-hmm.
The state from which he fled, that doesn't mean necessarily a prison, but anywhere in a geographical area, anywhere within certain lines on the map, that big land mass is the state from which he fled. The executive authority of the state from which he fled, that's absurd because a land mass has no authority whatsoever. And they're saying the executive authority of the organization with the same name as the land mass. And so this is how people, even back then, were merging the two things as one in the same and some kind of a being that can even think, according to Article 1, Section 9.
Right. You're onto something there, and I've mentioned this recently, too. You'll hear things in court proceedings. Like, yeah. I remember this in, I think it was Arya's sentencing, or even during Ian's trial, where the prosecution or the judge said, well, the state feels...
Right.
And I'm like, the state doesn't feel anything, you moron.
So,
yeah,
it was a much lesser charge. Hold on one second, Doc. It was a much lesser charge for me, right? But it was like the state versus Rich.
Okay.
Or something. Yeah. Or some nonsense. And I was like, well, under the Constitution, right, I have the right to face my accuser. So I'm like, can I add someone to, like, the subpoena list to bring them in for questioning? Like, who would you like to add? I'm like, the state of Hawaii. If it's them versus me, I would like to speak to that person and find out what they're accusing me of.
Right.
Because the person, you know, the cop who witnessed the crime or whatever,
yeah,
he was not the accuser. He was a witness to the incident.
Right.
So he was not the harmed individual. They were saying, like, the harm was caused to the state.
All right, well, let's see.
Bring him forward. Like, who can I how do I subpoena the state? Yeah, it obviously didn't go over too well, but I did it, and it's on the record.
Nice.
Go ahead, Tom.
You drive around the streets, and you see the U.S. Capitol building, and you see the White House, but you never find the government. Now, the thing is, in political debate, by the way, they say something called the will of the people, and that's false. And as the song goes, when I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. Well, one takeaway that I've kept is when my geometry teacher explained, for a statement to be true, it must be true for all cases. Okay, and now if it's the will of the people being the plural of person, then that's not a true statement. The people strongly support that law. No, I do not. Okay, then that disproves the allegation that the people support that law. If they're talking about a people, such as we the peoples of the United Nations, a people as, you know, a whole of, the people cannot think, a people cannot support, the people is, you know, just a nation, but it cannot think by itself.
So yeah,
you got to remember that whenever they say the people strongly support that law, no, I do not.
Right. And I think this was best illustrated to me from a man known as Mark Stevens. He used to do a show called The No State Project.
Yep. Used to listen to that all the time.
And what it really boils down to is, factually speaking, the state, whatever version it is, right? The state of New Hampshire, factually speaking, is just a piece of paper. That's all that it is, saying that, you know, well, you know, these are the conditions, blah, blah, blah. But it's really just a piece of paper.
Or if it is indeed the land, how did I aggress upon the land?
Right.
Yes.
Now, it's the same thing, though, as a check, which is just a piece of paper, but it directs the bank. And by signing and manufacturing that document, the owner of that checking account has authorized the withdrawal of that money. And by manufacturing this document, it is possible that some people authorized the government to do certain things, but that's only in the United States Constitution. In that case, only the men who autographed that document
right.
ever actually consented to it. And, yes, some people voted to ratify the Constitution, but all of the people who consented to it are dead now anyway. And to say that, you know, the will of the people is like saying that something, how can it be unconstitutional when the United States Supreme Court upheld it? That's right up there with how can I be overdrawn when I still have some checks left in my checkbook?
Another interesting thing that Mark Stevens, I believe, is the first person to point this out, at least in my recollection,
yeah.
right, is that the signers of the Constitution are not actually signing as party to the document. They're signing in witness thereof.
Right.
There is no parties to the document. There are only witnesses. So whom binds whom, right, to the contract that is the Constitution?
Well, and...
Let me bring something else up.
And where is their signature?
Right, and so just to conclude there, what the takeaway is that the Constitution is not a contract.
It's not.
Now, can I bring something else
up? Yeah, go ahead.
During the war, the Union never called it the war between the states. It was called the war between the states because it was a war between one state, the United States, and another state, the Confederate States. And since the Union never recognized the Confederate States, they called it the War of the Rebellion. But in spite of the Confederacy having a flag and a paper money and a constitution and an army and its own postage stamps, the soldiers who were drafted, who were required by law to serve in the Confederate Army and who got captured, you know, what's the big idea fighting a war against the United States? Oh, we were required by law to do so. No. They could not say they were required by law because as far as the Union was concerned, the Confederacy never had any laws. The Confederate States never had any authority to make laws. These people had to say, oh, the rebels threatened us with violence if we did not join the Confederate Army. The Confederacy was just a bunch of people rebelling against the United States. And you take a look at what's the difference between the Confederate government, which was just a bunch of people with supposedly no authority, and the United States government, which is just a bunch of people going out violating people's unalienable rights willy-nilly.
The victory of guns.
And basically that's what it comes down to, is which gang had more firepower. Tom, thank you for the call tonight. We appreciate you. Big gang, more guns, forcing people to their preference. If you think this is a good way to organize society, you might have yourself looked at by a medical professional in the mental health industry, because these are signs of psychopathy.
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate thing with all that is might doesn't make right necessarily, but it does make it so. Right?
Like, yeah, that's true.
They're going to do it, and if you want to repel that threat, you have to be able to defend yourself.
Yeah.
And the likelihood of defending yourself is going to be through violent means.
Right.
I am not creative enough to imagine a way around that.
Yeah.
Right? With the violence, you have to repel it.
But that's kind of how it is in any circumstance of self-defense, right?
Know.
So if somebody breaks into my house and they try to, like, you know, whatever, kill me, I'm going to have to defend myself with violent means.
Well, and there's even been, you know, cases of this in United States case law where, you know, they go to the wrong house, they kick a door in, guy opens fire, kills a cop, and they're like, oh, yeah, he was totally right in defending himself.
Hey, but there are libertarians in the community that want to use the violence of the state to vote their way to freedom.
Yeah.
Right? There's violence in there somewhere. If you try to do this peacefully, right, you are sadly going to run into roadblocks that only violence gets you through.
Let's go to more of your calls and thoughts. We've got Jerome calling from South Carolina. Jerome, you're on Free Talk Live.
Trump train!
Choo-choo!
Hello.
Hello.
How y'all doing here?
Hey, what's up?
We're okay. Hello. Are you eating dinner or something?
No, I was trying to... I had y'all on speakerphone. I was trying to take it off speakerphone so I could, like, talk about what's on my mind today.
What's on your mind today, Jerome?
The Trump train. No.
Choo-choo!
I don't want to talk about... Yeah, right. Anyway. Hey, speaking of choo-choo, how about that choo-choo they got in Florida, that Ron DeSanctimonious? He wants the government to help him now. When the people he wants to help the people, but he doesn't want to meet with President Biden though.
He can't even take on Disney.
I'll take your money, huh?
He can't even take on Disney.
Yeah, I know. Good luck with that deal. How much money they got and how much money he got? Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so
but
what's going on? What is he trying to do in Florida? I don't really pay attention to Florida very much, so.
All I know is he's in some kind of, you know, kerfuffle with Disney. I don't really know what.
No, but the thing with Biden, he's refusing to meet with Biden. What is he trying to do?
Yeah, he didn't want it. Well, because it would make him look bad to his constituents. You know,
he's a Republican candidate for president.
Yeah, bowing down to the, you know, to someone he constantly condemns as doing a lousy job. But when you need help. Not him. The people need help. He won't do it because that will make him look bad to the Republican Party, who will, like, send him talking points so when he gets out in front of the public, he says what they want to hear. By the way, did you hear about old Ramaswamy? Ramaswamy? Did you hear about him?
I don't know who you're talking about.
You know, some network wanted him to give them money. So they can make him look good, you know.
I'm sure.
Give him more.
He's a politician.
All tyrants.
Yeah, more favorable talk, you know.
I think he's also a billionaire. I don't need the money.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Oh,
I mean, either way, there's a lot of people who love that guy. A lot of libertarian folks who love that guy.
I'm sick of those people.
I don't see it. Everything I see on his Twitter, he's just like, this guy is not for freedom. Oh, because he said he likes Ron Paul and he's going to pardon. I think he might have said he's going to pardon Snowden and like a couple other people. That's great. I think whoever is president should absolutely do those things. That's great.
Get Ross Ulbricht everything, on that list.
Yeah, I don't think he was on that list.
Okay.
But either way, it's like so this guy said a couple of cool things. Everything else he says is absolute trash.
Right.
So why are we settling for tyrants?
Yeah, you should.
He's a politician.
Because they're the
He's
only
gonna
ones
lie
running.
And cheat and steal to get climb his slimy way up to the top.
So these libertarians who are supportive of any of these tyrants really are falling into the same exact trap. And Jerome, I'm sorry to use you as an example here, but falling into the same trap as Jerome. They're latching onto this stuff because it's in their news cycle,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the news they pay attention
Turn
to,
it off.
Right? Because it's receiving attention in their feeds,
mm-hmm.
right? It's on their mind. So now Vivek is living rent-free inside their heads because he said something that might kind of align with libertarianism.
Well, and he came to the state and gave some speeches,
right?
Right? They're making the rounds.
But that's what I'm saying, right? It's in the news cycle, and so therefore you're hearing more about it. And sadly, libertarians can't seem to break away from the fad, the virality of the news cycle.
They're falling for the trick, and that's the same thing with the Kennedy guy. He's and they're like, oh, he's an anti-vaxxer. We have so much in common. I love this guy. No, he's a politician. Everything else he believes in is crap.
Yeah.
So why do you care? Honestly, I don't care if somebody's an anti-vaxxer or not. That means nothing to me. How is that the most important thing that these people can think of? Like, there are so many more important things to be looking for in a politician.
What do you look for in a politician?
Honesty. Which I know when I hear that, I know what reaction I'm going to get from
So
Jerome.
Then you've never found one that you like.
That's all crap, Jerome.
Well, at least you're learning.
Who is the most honest politician you can think of, Jerome?
Probably Donald Trump when he said that he's the best president for Black America since Abraham Lincoln. Ha 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 ha.
You thought that was like the most honest statement from a politician?
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay, well, it's general curiosity. If you're talking about honesty in politicians,
you got to work on your sarcasm, Gerald.
Who?
Right.
A serious question though. Like who's the most honest politician you can think of?
Man, look, they all are going to lie to you.
That's right.
There's no such thing as the honest politician, okay?
That's right.
Then why do you look for that as a trait amongst them?
Or is this more sarcasm?
That's not what I... Look, I just try to get as close to the truth as I can get, okay? Because I know none of them are going to be perfect. But what bothers me is the fact that I was watching ABC a little bit today, and they said that Trump and Biden are like in a neck and neck 46% each of approval rate.
Wait. I thought you were a CNN guy.
That old news?
I thought you were a CNN guy.
Hey, I watch them all.
You watch Fox News, too?
Oh, yeah, especially when I found out they had to pay out $787 million for lying.
He loves that one.
Oh, I love their lying. Oh, yeah. Whose lie do you love better? Huh? Whose lies do you love better? I love the... excuse me. I love the lies when you got to pay out $787 million. And you keep calling, all them Democrats, they lied, I lied. Ain't no damn Democrat in the history of this country ever cost a network $787 million. By the way, that's $750 million. Because if there is one, you name them. And you want to play gotcha with me about who is the most honest politician you look to for a guy.
Well, you brought it up.
So you
so.
Tell me.
No, I asked the question.
Tell me.
I said, what do you look for in a politician? He said, honesty. I said, who's the most honest politician?
I just want them to get to as close to the truth as possible. Because then not I'm going to tell the total absolute truth. Hey, look.
Yeah, they have no incentive.
When you have a girlfriend, she asks you, does this dress make me look fat? What are you going to say?
You say, no, it's not the dress.
What are you going to say?
It's the fat that makes you look fat.
No, you're not going to say
that. You got to be honest, right? Isn't that the crux of the female and male relationship?
That's when you say
honesty.
It's all right, baby. I like curvy girls. That's why I got you.
Thick thighs save lives.
You're not gonna say that. You know what you're gonna say? But baby, you look beautiful to me. That's what the hell you're gonna say.
No, you know, actually, so I'm a woman. Right?
What?
And
surprise.
I have a husband. If
what?
I typically
you
when
can't
I ask
admit
him,
that on the air, man, because now just
I know we're gonna
ask the mail on.
But anyways, when I ask my husband for his opinion on my outfits, he usually doesn't give me one because he genuinely doesn't care. But if I were to say, hey, do I look fat? Do I look bad in this? I would want him to tell me the truth.
That's a different
because
question.
Because if I look fat, well, let's put something else on. Let's get a black dress. Maybe that'll be a little bit more flattering. Uh-huh.
You know what you would want him to say to you? Chicken, chicken, bow, wow. That's what you would want him to say.
I believe it's brown chicken, brown cow.
No, chicken, chicken, bow, wow.
Not brown chicken, brown cow?
No. Look, don't start me up.
That's what I do.
What I said.
I told them I'd do my job.
No, you hear what I said. Hey, that's just like the time when my girlfriend dropped me and she said to me as she was leaving the building, my mama doesn't like the way you treat me, you know. And I'm thinking, you drop me for somebody else, and you're talking about how I treat you? Boy, that's over 47 years ago, and I still remember that.
It's the last time you had a girlfriend.
Like an amazing, I mean, yeah, well, probably. So, anyway, she's the last girl. That girl used to say, hey, when are you coming to see me? I said, ma'am, women sure can change on you, but you better be ready at all times. Because you never know.
Jerome, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. Did he just admit that 47 years ago was the last time he had a girlfriend?
I mean, no, I don't think that was what he said. He said it was 47 years ago, and I still remember it.
Okay.
I think sometimes when you're trying to get through the point, you just agree to whatever someone else brings up just to
keep
dust it
making
off
your point. Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. It's
but it makes for good radio.
It's the shield of deflection.
Yes.
And the verbal shield of deflection. I thought he only watched, like, CNN.
No, I've heard him say that before, that he'll watch Fox News to get angry about it.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
to have, like, ammo to be like, oh, they said this.
And like, I think frequently he'll call in and be like, I just saw that, and be raging about something that he saw on Fox News.
Yeah. Yes.
But I thought that, like, his brand was CNN. I thought he was
No,
CNN.
I think it is. I
he
think
generally
that,
agrees with CNN.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, good on him for watching the alternative, right? Even if he's going to do it for just ammunition.
Yeah, I mean, I think that anybody who watches something known as the news would do well to watch multiple sources.
Works for debate, too. You got to know both sides so you know what they're going to rebut.
Well, it's also very revealing in that how canned the news is, how scripted it is, and how, you know, depending on which side of the fence they fall on, you're going to get a different story. 603-283-6160. Still to come, Slaughterbox. This is Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. Some battleground states are looking into the potential of having former President Trump removed from the ballot using the 14th Amendment to address the Capitol insurrection on January 6th. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky has dismissed his defense minister. The war with Russia is in its 19th month. Tens of thousands were stranded at the Burning Man Festival in the Nevada desert after a weekend of soaking rain. Coco Gauff is the first American teenager since Serena Williams more than 20 years ago to reach the quarters at the U.S. Open in back-to-back years. She defeated Caroline Wozniacki in three sets on Sunday. At the movies, The Equalizer 3 is leading the box office with a projected $41 million. The Denzel Washington flick is also the second-best Labor Day weekend debut. Jerry Barmesh, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
All of us are back.
And stalling as much as we can.
I'm back.
Okay. Hello, back. Hey, it's nice to see you're back. See, Jerome, that was sarcasm. You're gonna wrap your headphones around the chair, and it's gonna be that won't be good for anybody.
So even if there's not a headphone cord, I have to unwind myself in the chair if I spin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a little OCD.
Yeah.
Are you like that?
Are you done with OCD?
You know me.
I am a part-time OCD person.
Okay.
Right? Like, I will have bouts of OCD.
Okay.
Like, it kind of like when I go nuts on my kitchen, right? Like, I've let it go for a while, and everything's just kind of everywhere, and you know, maybe I got dirty dishes piling up in the sink or whatever, and I decide to go nuts. I'll go nuts, and then I'll OCD everything. All of the forks have to be stacked on top of each other just properly and in the right slot, and, you know, all this kind of thing. You know, everything's got to have its own little place and all that kind of stuff, and it's going to be perfectly set. And then the OCD goes away, and I become slacker guy for a while, right? And I go through these cycles, right? Yeah, and so I'm a part-time OCD-er.
It's so bad, even I need to clean it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live in the studio tonight. It's myself, the Captain.
Nikki.
And Rich.
Free Talk Live listeners, we are asking you for a favor. As you perhaps already know, if you listened to the previous segment, Ian Freeman, the show's founder, was recently convicted of various victimless crimes and is facing up to 20 years in prison. We can argue all day as if to, was the jury right? Were they wrong? That's not going to make any difference now. Won't get us anywhere. But what will be helpful is if you were to write a letter to the Honorable Joseph LaPlante about Ian's character, how he's helped you, how he's helped the community, or why you think he deserves a light sentence. Saying things about yourself that give your opinion some weight with government could be helpful, such as if you served in the military, if you held office, if you, you know, I don't know, participated in court or something like that. These might be things you would want to mention. Ian is a selfless man, and he's always tried to do what he thinks is the right thing. It would be a tragedy if he had to spend any time in prison at all. We need those letters quickly, so don't put it off. Send your letter for Ian Freeman to 63 Emerald Street, number 610, Keene, New Hampshire, 03431. If you didn't get the address written down, that's okay. All the info you need can be found at letters.freetalklive.com. That's letters.freetalklive.com. And apparently we're in crunch time. A week from Monday is the actual sentencing hearing for Mr. Freeman. So please, if you're going to write a letter, do it. Get it in the mail ASAP. Letters.freetalklive.com. All right, let's go to your calls and thoughts. We've got Sylvia calling from California. Sylvia, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I'm not your boy, but it's your boy, the undefeated young Skeet. Hey, I'm just finishing up my letter.
Like Sean O'Malley's undefeated. Let's throw that out there.
I don't know who that is. He must be a great person like me. Hey, how come you let all those old heads rant for like 10 minutes, but you don't let your boy Chef Skeet cook?
What?
Because you're not as good of a caller.
Yeah, one, they're more entertaining than you. Two, they're more entertaining than you. And three, they're far more entertaining than you.
Now that we've settled that.
Okay. Hey, yeah, so I wanted to talk about, like, my economic and moral philosophy, evolutionary utilitarianism.
Yeah, that's all he talks about. He never talks about anything.
Yeah, I think we already covered that.
Do
you have anything else?
When did we talk about that?
Every time you call.
Did you have a question for him?
Utilitarianism is.
Well, neither do you, because you've been unable to explain it in a succinct fashion so that anybody can understand it.
We never talk about it. We've been talking about, like, subjective
value. I have a question for you.
You guys messed up.
Squidward, do you play the clarinet?
You should save your questions for later so you... I don't get hung up on.
Well, it's an easy one.
Yes
or no?
It's a conversation, so.
Do you play the clarinet?
Why? What does it matter if I do or not?
Just a question. There might be some money on the line on whether you answer yes or no, so we'd appreciate it.
Are you saying like I'm a band geek or something?
We're just asking a question on whether or not you play the clarinet.
No.
Okay.
No. I don't. Okay,
wait
a minute.
Okay. Right, I have another question. I have another question.
No, you save it for later. You're here for me. I'm not here for you.
You're not here for us, and we're not here for you either. But I have one other question. Do you live in your mom's basement?
Yes, I seceded it. She owes it to me because... you know, I mixed my labor with her basement.
So you do live in your mom's basement.
I don't even know what he did to mix his labor with the basement.
Yes.
Oh.
I do. What is okay, so I guess this is all tied together, like you guys are trying to tie
talking
me
on
something,
the wall.
Right? I'm a nerdy bad guy living in his mom's basement. Is that what you take me for?
No, you're making assumptions. Okay. Neither of those questions are connected.
Okay.
We may or may not have like some wagers going on here at the office, right?
That's what I thought you guys are doing.
And so
my time, not your time.
We're just like, it's our time. You called us. We didn't call you. So it is our time, not your time.
Isn't this Free Talk Live, not Membership Talk Live? Come on, man. I say call in whatever you want to talk about.
You call all the time, and we give you plenty of opportunity to spew whatever kind of crap you're going to spew.
His moral and ethical economic philosophy without a clarinet.
Oh. Okay, so what else you want to ask? It's your guys' show.
Okay, well, thanks for the call.
Oh.
moving right along. Let's go to Major Payne calling from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, Jerome got me to thinking about, he's called in talking about all the politics. As far as, who's this? DeSantis and Disney?
Yeah.
I guess Disney's market share has fell $196 billion.
Really?
I don't think that has anything to do with DeSantis.
That's a pretty, you know, because ever since they started supporting this gay agenda and whatnot.
That might have more to do with it than DeSantis.
Well, and also let's not forget that they purchased Marvel and then proceeded to...
completely destroy it?
I mean, not completely, but they're certainly doing a good job at trying to turn it into something it never was.
And Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, old Elon's doing a pretty good job killing Twitter, too, from what I understand.
It's not even called Twitter anymore. He already killed it. Just X.
No one called it that, though.
Well, old Joe Biden people you're on X. Demanded another $4 billion from Congress to save the American people from all of these hurricanes and wildfires and whatnot, but he wants $24 billion to send to the Ukraine.
Wars are more expensive.
It ain't our damn war.
Yeah,
I have to agree with that.
Well, whose war is it then?
It's the Ukrainians and the Russians and the Poles. And Finland and whoever's next door are going to be consumed by the Russians.
And if your neighbor came to you and said, "Hey, Captain, give me or pay Major, give me some money," you wouldn't give him some money as a good friend and neighbor.
I'm not their neighbor.
But if you had a neighbor,
I've never met any one of them.
They're thousands of miles away. They're people I've never met.
All right.
To the extent that. Like people in Florida and Hawaii, these are people I've never met, right? Like personally, I've never even been to Hawaii. I've been to Florida, so I might know some. I know some people who have family in Florida, so I might, you know, sort of fiduciarily care or at least inquire with my friends that I know have family in Florida and be like, "Hey, is your family okay?" Right? I might go that far as to inquire.
Did anybody I know die? I don't care.
Now, absent...
I think I agree with your stance on that one.
Yeah, absent the government, if something tragic happened somewhere, hurricane in Florida, fire in Hawaii, whatever, and somebody was like, "Oh my gosh, some people, you know, need some relief. We put up a GoFundMe or whatever. You know, here's a hotline you can call and make a donation or whatever." I might be inclined to do so, depending on, you know, my mood, my financial well-being. Do I have some vested interest in that, you know, or do I just feel like being a nice person because it feels good to give, right? Yeah. I might give some. Now,
so
what I won't
back
do...
back to the rebuilding of Ukraine.
What I won't do is voluntarily give money to people to murder each other.
Oh.
Right? Instead, that money is taken from me without my consent and used to do so by, well, whoever the puppet in chief is at any given moment, whether it's Biden or Trump or Obama or Carter or Clinton or Bush 1 or Bush 2, Lord forbid, Bush 3.
Jeb, coming back at you.
Yeah, I mean, and I think in regards to using the government as a mechanism to institute different charities, first of all, a lot of nonprofit type charities take a lot of the money. You know, they say they're nonprofit, but they take a lot of the money. And you can imagine that the government is even worse at doing that, right?
Yeah.
So any money that, any taxpayer dollars that is going towards anything, you can assume a lot is being skimmed off the top.
Yeah, the bigger the organization, the worse.
Right. The way charity organizations work, if they're official, like 501c3s, for example, is they will take in donations. They don't work like a corporation does in where their primary motive is profit. However, they do have what they call operating expenses, and that includes employee salaries. So they will have a CEO, if you will, a leader of the nonprofit organization.
Making
who will,
half a million a year.
Who will demand, you know, some sort of a salary commensurate with other leaders of these types of organizations. And then they have all the administrative people, the employees that are hired, plus all the expenses of that. They got to probably have an office somewhere, maintain some equipment, all that kind of thing. So you're right. They do take a bit of that. All that money doesn't go to the people who need it. It goes to the administrative costs of those organizations.
Yeah. So if I don't like that, then I can choose not to donate. When I go to the grocery store and they're like, "Can I have a dollar?" I can say no.
Right.
And what I can do, I mean, so speaking of Hawaii, there is a local business somewhere in a small town in New Hampshire where my sister lives, and it's called Island Bowls, and they're from Hawaii.
Yeah.
They're from Maui, and they are accepting money, and they are donating it to people they know personally who were affected.
Nice.
Nice.
So those are the type of charity, like,
direct action, yeah.
You know, and like that's how that, those are the people I want to support. They're like, hey, we're from this place,
yeah,
and we can literally send these people money, and 100% of the money that you're donating.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but I'm going to assume. I mean, if I'm gambling, my money's on this random person,
right? Yeah.
Versus the freaking Fed. You know what I mean?
Or a small transfer fee.
Right. Well, and in the scenario that I outlined where somebody is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, I'm thinking Red Cross, for example, right? The big one. But any of them, any of these charity organizations, even like your local food bank, stuff like that, fall under these categories. If they're run, a successfully run charity is somewhere between 10 and 25% of the funds go to the actual thing that they're trying to assist. So that's like a 75%, you know, goes to administration and costs.
That's
and,
a huge
and
chunk.
All that. That's a huge chunk. Now, government takes more.
Yeah.
More. Government, so, like, less than 1%, right? They rape you and rape you and rape you for a whole bunch of money, and then less than 1% actually goes to, like, food stamps or, you know, paying somebody's rent or that type of thing. Now, that pales in comparison because, of course, the budget of the United States government is way out of control and has been for a long, long time since we left the gold standard.
That brings me to my question on FEMA. Now, every government agency is fully funded whenever they do the new budget. So FEMA supposedly was fully funded. Why do they need another $4 billion?
There's a lot of natural disasters.
They already gave you.
Oh, because the government. So your point is valid, Major, but the answer is it is far easier to spend somebody else's money than it is to spend your own.
Oh, that's a fact.
So, you know, you got a whole bunch of people in charge of spending, not their money. Well, they're just going to spend it on whatever the heck they feel like.
Well, let's also consider what does fully funded mean when it comes to disaster relief, right? Like, if they're like, well, we think there's only going to be like 7 wildfires in California and 1 hurricane in Florida.
Yeah.
Right? And then Maui burns down. Like, well, we didn't have the funds for that because we didn't budget for that. And we budgeted for 7 wildfires in California and 1 hurricane in Florida. Right?
Well, so I think they probably knew Maui was going to burn down as soon as how they contributed on every facet.
Point being, natural disasters are unpredictable, and it's hard to budget for unpredictability. So I'm not giving them a pass.
Right.
But I'm answering the question, like, why do they need more? Well, because there were more natural disasters than they anticipated when they put together the budget.
Yeah, and if you guess there's going to be an extra wildfire, well, you might have just made yourself culpable.
Sure, why not?
Hadn't thought of that, but yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think this year we're going to budget for one extra big-ass wildfire.
I'm sure they have an economist, right, like some Keynesian economist, like running the numbers.
Yeah, wrongly.
Wrongly. Well, obviously, clearly, if they're asking for more.
Yeah.
Right, but someone has to think about those things when putting together the budget. Like, what is this going to cover? How much disaster relief is it going to be? And then they fell short.
What bugs me the most about government is they have the majority of the people under the delusion that they are much smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, like, no kidding.
Oh, these people of state, it's so intricate and so, you know, we can't possibly understand what they're doing and how difficult their job must be. Well, actually, we can. They're just people. They put their pants on one leg at a time. They put their shoes on one foot at a time, just like everybody else. What is happening, however, is there's a whole bunch of people at the top of that crop of people who are going, ha, 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 ha. Look at all this money we've printed. We're getting filthy rich for doing nothing, for making nothing, for providing no value at all. Ha, 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 you peasant dumbasses. That's what's happening.
Yeah, well, now that we've depressed everybody talking about government money, I got kind of a cute, funny one. There's this guy, and evidently a psychic told him that his soulmate was going to be named Janet, and he would meet her. I don't know if they gave any kind of a time frame. But this guy married five Janets trying to find this here girl, okay?
Okay.
Well, now he's gotten old, and he's got him an RV. He's from one of the crazy coastal states out west. I don't know if it was California or Portland or where the hell he came.
Make it up. It's a joke.
To have that much faith in something a psychic told you, you know, 50 years ago or some craziness, is nuts. So anyway, he's gone on this road trip.
It's almost like listening to Ron Paul predictions from the 70s.
He's got signs on his Winnebago or whatever saying, Janet, call me. He's got all kinds of websites. And he says, every now and then he meets one, he says, but most of them get scared off just because the whole concept is so crazy. I mean, I just can't believe that somebody would be that gullible that long.
I mean...
So does he find Janet?
There's like no punchline to this.
He's on his damn road trip as we speak. I just heard this a couple days ago.
Oh, this was a true story.
I thought this was supposed to be a happy story.
Yeah, you said you had a couple of funny ones. This isn't funny.
Well, it's kind of it's funny how stupid people can be.
What does the major put on his toast?
I don't know.
But
that's funny. Major, can you top that one? What?
Peanut butter, too.
Peanut butter. Major, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160.
Disappointed you didn't get that one, Captain.
I got it.
Okay. No, I mean...
After.
No, I was expecting him to do it, because he usually does the butter.
Yeah.
Okay. What were your expectations, bro?
I'm sorry.
Try to keep him down. All right. You won't be disappointed. Speaking of disappointing and depressing news, Slaughterbots are here.
I thought that was a movie.
RoboCop.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm looking at the picture from the TV over there, or whatever that is, computer.
Yeah,
and it looks like, monitor, whatever it is. I feel like a boomer right now.
It's also ironically a magic rectangle. So.
A computer over there. But it does look like an advertisement for a movie. Like, it seems like I'm sitting in the movie theater right now, and it's like, Slaughterbots are here.
So this from autonomousweapons.org. Slaughterbots are here. The era in which algorithms decide who lives and who dies is upon us. We must act now to prohibit these weapons.
So are you sure this isn't a movie advertisement?
I'm telling you, it's RoboCop. They did this in RoboCop. This is like the start of RoboCop. The autonomous bot, right, programmed to take down criminals, goes haywire and kills innocent people.
History is in the making. Latin America and the Caribbean Conference on the Social and Humanitarian Impact of Autonomous Weapons. This will be the first ever regional conference on autonomous weapons outside of the CCW. I don't know what that is.
As long as they're testing hosted, out on brown people first.
Hosted by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Worship in conjunction with the Foundation for Peace and Democracy in Costa Rica. Anyway, that's an ad for those guys. What are lethal autonomous weapons? Slaughterbots, also known as lethal autonomous weapon systems, LAWS.
Laws.
Lethal autonomous weapons systems. I don't think this is a coincidence.
Not at all.
No.
Lethal autonomous weapons systems, or killer robots.
Listen to the laws.
You must obey the laws.
There you go.
The lethal autonomous weapon systems. These are weapons that use artificial intelligence to identify, select, and kill human targets without human intervention. Whereas in the case of unmanned military drones, the decision to take life is made remotely by a human operator.
Oh, so this is only war zone deployment, then. We don't have to worry about this coming to our streets.
Never.
Are you kidding? Have you not seen the request from California law enforcement to arm their robots?
No, I'm aware.
Okay. In the case of lethal autonomous weapons, however, the decision to kill humans is made by the algorithms alone. Slaughterbots are pre-programmed to kill a specific target profile, quote-unquote.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Minorities.
Yeah.
The weapon is then deployed into an environment where its AI searches for that specific target profile using sensor data such as facial recognition.
He fits the description.
Yeah. Yeah, how is this different than the regular cops?
Oh, I maintain it's probably worse, but yeah, we'll see. When the weapon encounters someone the algorithm perceives to match the target profile, it fires and it kills.
Okay. Sounds safe.
So what's the problem?
No justice, no arrest, no trial.
So these are the stormtroopers that are going to be manning the AI drones?
Except these have good
or
aim.
Or whatever they are?
These have good aim.
Yeah.
Weapons that use algorithms to kill rather than human judgment are immoral and a grave threat to national and global security. Number one, immoral. Algorithms are incapable of comprehending the value of human life, and so they should never be empowered to decide who lives and who dies. Indeed, the United Nations Secretary, General Antonio Guterres, agrees that machines with the power and discretion to take lives without human involvement are politically unacceptable, morally repugnant, and should be prohibited by international law. They're going to use the law to fight the laws.
Law. Yeah.
I kind of want to... all right.
Go ahead.
Someone calculates what a human life is worth. Like, economists do it all the time.
Yep.
Right? They figure it out, and they come up with a number.
Yep.
Right, and people don't like the number because, like, oh, you can't put a value on a human life.
Yeah, your life is worth $175,000.
But something. They do it all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm not objecting too harshly to an algorithm doing it either.
Well,
what's the difference?
Well, an algorithm calculating the value of life is one thing. An algorithm following instructions to kill a human being based on some data given to it.
Well, I object to that, obviously. Right. But, you know, they're trying to make it like, oh, the algorithm can't calculate a human life and therefore shouldn't take it. But humans calculate human life and decide whether or not they're going to take it as well.
Right. But humans have been known to change their mind in the heat of battle.
Okay.
Like, we've all heard of the drone operator that just can't pull the trigger.
I've also heard of, like, Ford not... You know, changing a part on a vehicle because the lawsuits were going to be cheaper than the, you know, the change.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Number two, threat to security. Algorithmic decision making allows weapons to follow the trajectory of the software faster, cheaper, and at greater scale. This will be highly destabilizing on both national and international levels because it introduces threats of proliferation, rapid escalation, unpredictability, and even the potential for weapons of mass destruction. We've got more to talk about slaughterbots, plus more coming up. It's Free Talk Live, the Sunday Night Edition.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.